2 Corinthians chapter 4, if you will. I want to talk to you about heaven. And I named it after a song this week. Write this down, son. Quit scratching your head. Get your pencil. Write this down. Heaven is sounding sweeter all the time. I didn't used to understand that song when I was younger. I really didn't. I sang it, but I didn't understand it. As a new convert, I didn't understand that song. But now, I understand that song. Heaven is sounding sweeter all the time. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look at verse 16. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. We're going to trade affliction for glory. Verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. They're temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Amen. Brother Rudy, pray for us today. Shaverin's out sick. Pray for her. Brother Rudy, pray for us. That's right. Yes, Lord. That's right. Yes. Yes. Help us, Lord. Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes. Yes. Yes, we do. Amen. Don't turn there, but Hebrews 11:16 says, but now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Don't turn there, but Luke 12:34 says this, for where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. Now, it's stated plainly and simply that it is simply the grace of God and the mercies of God that we as believers do not faint. He said, faint not. Now that's the mercy and the grace of God that we don't faint. We don't give up. We don't stop. We don't go back. We don't die, spiritually speaking. And also, he tells us why. In our passage, he said, because we have treasure in earthen vessels. We've got treasure. That treasure is the new man that's within us that will live through all eternity. Now the old man is perishing every day. He said, this thing's dying, y'all. This thing's dying. But the new man on the inside is getting better every day until it gets to that country to where it will be completely at home. Now, a little bit of heaven in our earthly pot. That's what he's saying. This is our earthly body, our earthly pot, our earthly tabernacle. And when we got saved, Jesus Christ, through the Spirit of God, put a rebirth, the inner man, the inner person, and now we have a treasure, an eternal treasure that'll never die, never get sick, never worry about going to hell. That treasure is now in this old earthen Amen. Vessel. And we carry it around. Now, we dress this old vessel up. We paint it. We cut the hair on it. We style it. By the way, it'll be a cold day before I get one of them European men's hairstyles. We put paint on, and Max Factor is making billions of dollars, and Avon is making billions of dollars, and now they got makeup for men. And my wife and I had this little advertisement at the house. It's one of those perfume advertisements. They had one for men, one for women. I couldn't tell the difference. Both of them stunk to high heaven. But now we got perfume for the old dead body, because it stinketh, you know. It's dying every day. And so we're putting perfume on it to make it smell better. And don't get me wrong, that goes a long way for some people. But we've got an eternal. We've got an eternal man on the inside that never gets sick, never gets old, never has heartache, never has heartbreak, never disappointed, never has failure, and he's getting stronger every day. Now, because we're getting older, we're getting close to our time of death, we're always struggling with this old clay pot. We're struggling with the sin of this clay. We're struggling with the failure of this clay. We're struggling with the defeat of this clay. We're struggling with the heartache of this clay. We're struggling with the sickness of this clay. And in the end, we're going to struggle with the death of this clay.
Amen.
This clay's already got the death a pronouncement on it. You can't save it. Amen? But every day, every day, this earthen body is just getting worse and worse. And every day, this new man, if you're feeding him the right stuff, he's getting stronger. And he's renewed every day. I get up every morning, and there's two kinds of people. One jumps up and said, "Good morning, Lord." And I jump up and I say, "Good Lord, this morning." That's that clay talk. Now, when I was 18, it was, "Good morning, Lord." And now I'm 63, and it's, "Oh, Lord, good morning." But you know what? Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 through 10. Look at it. You're right there at it. Chapter 4, verse 7 through 10. "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus Christ may be made manifest in our body." Now, all believers desire heaven. All believers want to go to where our treasure is laid up, which is in heaven. All of us, we know that it's so good that it's indescribable. So, because of that, we get down, but we don't get out. He said, we get knocked down, but we don't get out. We get persecuted, but we don't get destroyed. We get perplexed, but we don't get confused. And there's a constant struggle with us in our earthen vessels in this world with the flesh and the world and the devil. We're in a constant struggle every day just to survive this old world. Amen? Come on, help me here. I'm going to get to the good point in a minute. Now, so we get down. Yeah, we do. I get down. We get discouraged. We get hurt. We get persecuted. But we never get stopped, because we are on our way to heaven. Now, we don't believe that you once saved, always saved means you can just sin and get by with it. But we do believe in eternal security, that God saves us and keeps us. And according to His Word, He's going to present us faultless before His presence with exceeding joy. That's all Him. Amen?
Amen.
Now we're on that road, and we're on a journey, and we have problems on the way. And it's a constant struggle, but we faint not. That means we don't ever give up the faith. Come on. We don't quit the faith. "Well, I used to be a Christian." You never were. If you can used to be, that's like saying, "I used to love Jesus, I don't love Him anymore." You never did love Him, because to know Him is to love Him.
Right.
Amen? And so it's a constant struggle. But you know, nothing will stop us on our journey to heaven. God won't allow it. It's not that we're great people. It's not that we have a lot of faith. It's that He's promised to never leave us and never forsake us. And He's promised to get us to heaven. And that's His job. And He's never failed in His job. We're on our way to heaven. We couldn't turn back if we wanted to. Amen? That old song said, I'm on my way to heaven. I can't turn back now. No, you can't. You are set on the road to heaven. And it's up to God to get you there. And guess what? Once you get saved, you get right with God, nothing will stop that journey, even if you have to do it alone.
Come on now. Yeah.
Now, I don't know if you figured this out yet or not, but if you're saved, you probably lost some friends.
Amen.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. You probably lost some family.
Yeah.
You may have lost positions and jobs over it. But I tell you one thing you didn't lose, that's your salvation.
Amen.
And He's promised to get you there, and He's always with us, and we will never, 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 never give up.
Amen.
Well, preacher, I got knocked down. Get up! Well, preacher, I'm discouraged. We all get discouraged. Get through it and keep going. Well, preacher, they didn't let me do what I wanted to down at the church. Grow up.
Amen.
Well, they didn't sing my favorite song. Get right with God. Amen?
Amen.
We never, never, never give up. Boy, you'll meet people, they'll say, well, I used to go to church, and I used to do this, and I used to do that, and I used to be a Christian, but I'm not anymore. And I look at them, and I try to be nice, but here's what I think. You don't know what I got.
Amen.
You've never had what I've got. Because if you had what I got, it wouldn't depend on other people. It wouldn't depend on what church you went to. It wouldn't depend on what your pastor said or didn't say. It wouldn't depend on how your husband treated you or your wife treated you or your children or your grandchildren or your boss man or how much money you made or what kind of standing you had in the community. You would not give up. You would not go back. If you had that treasure in your earthen vessel, you wouldn't even want to.
Come on now.
That day you got saved, God put a little bit of heaven in your soul. You say, well, I get discouraged. We all do. That's because of this thing right here. But there's something deep down inside of us that keeps pushing us and keeps pointing us to heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Well, I'm going to quit going to church. Well, I tell you what, you won't stay out long because that treasure, if you've got it in you, will get you to where the people of God are because you know that in heaven it's going to be full of us.
Amen.
If you don't like us down here, you ain't going to like us up there. And that'll make it hell for you. Amen. I know some people that would rather go to hell than have something to do with us. Amen. Amen. But the Apostle Paul said, I was cast down, but I didn't stay there. I was persecuted, but I didn't let it stop me. Amen. And now, after a lot of years following people following Jesus, you look. After you've been saved a long time, and I'm not talking to you that's younger, haven't been saved a long time, but after you've been saved a long time, you know what? People shouldn't even be able to tell that we're struggling.
Come on now, yeah.
Come on, help me.
Right. Yeah.
I never knew my mama didn't like chicken necks. I thought my mama loved chicken necks because every time we'd eat chicken, mama would eat the chicken neck. You say, she must love chicken neck. No, it's all that's left after she fed the rest of us. But she never would have told us that she didn't like chicken necks. She never would have told us that wasn't her favorite part of chicken. Come on, help me here.
Yeah.
And we as parents, a lot of times, we'll deny ourselves and our children will never even know that we're struggling because we love them so much.
Come on now. Yeah.
They shouldn't even tell we're struggling.
That's right.
Help me, people. Yeah. Some of y'all don't even know what I'm talking about because you've never struggled. Amen? Let me tell you something. As we travel on this highway to heaven, it ought to get sweeter, not harder.
Amen. Yeah.
Most of you won't know what I'm talking about. But here's how you build muscle. You lift things heavier than you think you should lift things that are heavier. And then repetition. You do it over. And you do it over, and you do it over, and those muscles get bigger And let me take my coat off. And they get bigger, and they get big. Feel that. And you get muscle by repetition, doing things you really don't even like to do. How many of y'all jumped up this morning and said, I got a 50-pound weight over there in the corner, and I can't wait but to lift that thing over my head 25 or 30 times? Didn't nobody do that. Even the people that lift weights didn't do that. But you built weight because you endured, and you endured, and you endured, and you endured, and you endured. And now people watch you lift that weight, and they say, boy, that ain't nothing to them. But it was. Come on, help me. And it's the same way in the Christian life. You look like a strong Christian because you endured, and you endured, and you endured, and you endured. And when the others got mad and quit, you kept going. And when the others got discouraged and laid down, you kept going. And when the ones that didn't really have the faith in the first place go back, you keep going forward because there's a treasure in your earthen vessel that won't let you turn around.
Amen.
Now, listen. You know why we get that way? Because from the experience, we know that God will deliver us. The Bible says He hath, He doth, and He yet will deliver us. In the past, I can prove to you, He's delivered me over and over and over. In the present, He's delivering me right now. And in the future, for the things that if I knew they were up there, and I don't thank God, but down the road there's some things, I'm going to need Him to help me to get through those things also. And He can do that because Christ liveth in me.
Amen. Yeah.
I've got that treasure in earthen vessels. It ain't me. This thing's wore out. It's Him. Amen. And so, on our way to heaven, I'm getting somewhere. Listen. We're troubled, but not out. We're perplexed, but we're not defeated. We're persecuted, but we're not stopping. And we're cast down, but we're not out. We're getting back up.
Come on now. Yeah.
Now, if you've been saved over a week, you know what I'm talking about. Now, some of you Christians like that leave here and make bad comments. And I can take that. I'm the pastor. And who else is going to blame it on? Because they might well borrow some money from you later. Listen, Jeremiah said, listen to this. This is profound. Jeremiah said, if the footman tire you, what will the horseman do? And he's talking about a battle. The footmen are the guys that come running with a spear. And if you think it's hard avoiding that little bit, what are you going to do when the guy comes on the horse that can outrun you?
Amen. Yep.
If this little bit will stop you, then we don't have to worry about big stuff. The devil's already got you covered. But if you can endure this little stuff, when the big stuff comes, the repetition has made you strong enough in that earthen vessel to keep on going.
Come on now. Yep.
Well, I got my feelings hurt. Join the club. We've all endured that. Well, they criticize me. Join the club. We've all endured that. Well, the preacher didn't come. I had my toenail took off, and he wasn't even there to pray over that toenail. I don't want to see your green toenail. You ain't dying because you got a green toenail. You ain't even in emergency. Now, if it turns black, I'll be there. But see, we endure these things because that's He's in there and He's pushing us on. There's an old southern word, agging. He's agging us on. And when we want to quit, He won't let us quit. And we keep enduring and we get stronger. So when the big stuff comes, we keep looking forward. Amen? Come on. I'm not near through, so you better listen a whole lot faster. Listen, the Apostle Paul said, we're more than conquerors. Another scripture said, Jesus said, fret not. Fret, that's another southern word. Don't worry about it. Actually, it's an English word that the southerners use, and y'all Yankees don't know no better. But listen, fret not. Don't worry about it. He's saying, I took care of those other things. I can take care of this. And not only can I take care of this, I can take care of the next thing on your way to heaven. Amen. Y'all still with me?
Yes.
All right, hold on. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 says, our outward man is perishing, but our inward man is renewed. Look at 2 Corinthians 5. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now listen, for this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, not to die, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. My, I like that. Therefore, we're always confident, knowing that while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We're confident, and I say willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Because we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now what's he saying? He said a change is coming. He said a change is coming. And we as believers who have this treasure in earthen vessels, we've got a little glimpse of heaven. We've got a little feeling of what heaven's going to be like. Are you listening?
Come on now, yeah.
So, as we go day by day and this old body decays and this earthen vessel gets older and it gets weaker, sickness attacks and sin attacks and the world attacks and devil attacks, we groan more desired to be clothed with that heavenly body. He said, take that mortal, make it immortal. 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul said, this mortal must put on immortality. We can't go to heaven in this. Y'all still with me? This in heaven would look like that flower pot that you bought down there at the flea market for $2 compared to that flower pot over there at that high dollar store that somebody paid $300 for. There's no comparison. Y'all didn't like that, did you? That flea market part, did you? I don't go to them. Listen. But we desire. We groan. You know, when you desire something, oh man, I wish I had that. You ever said that? You liar. You said you didn't ever say that, you liar. Listen, as you grow older, this old world begins to lose its grip on you. You see, when you first got saved, this world had you, buddy. It had you 100%. You didn't think it did because of your sinful pride, but it possessed you, it had you, and nothing could take you out of the grips of this old rotten world. And then you got born again, and God broke that grip, and now you're in His hand. And as you go through life now as a believer on the Lord Jesus Christ, you put all your faith on Him. The farther you live, the longer you live, the more you experience, the more you go through these things, the more God delivers you, the more God strengthens you, the other side starts looking a whole lot sweeter.
Come on now. Yep.
You say it's not natural for people to want to go to heaven. You're absolutely right. It's supernatural.
Amen.
Amen. You realize this when you've had some things taken away from you. As you go through this life and things in this life, you lose things of this world. And as you lose things, you realize it didn't hurt near as much as it used to hurt when the world had such a grip on you. So you lost a car. Big deal. Didn't bother you. So you lost a house. Well, I'm sorry I lost a house. I'll get another house. Amen. And I got another one coming in heaven. So you lost a friend. Well, I probably didn't need that friend anyway. And as you get closer to heaven and you get closer to heaven, the things of this world don't hold on to you like they used to. Are you still with me? Say amen. I'm going to make a Baptist out of y'all Yankees if it kills you. Listen. Look. As you travel, as the song says, down this road of life, you begin to lose things that you thought were so dear. And then you stop and you think, that didn't hurt bad as I thought it would, because there's something better coming. Amen? Amen. Every time you get sick and you recover, you realize you're a little bit different. Now, you got to be older to understand this. Y'all still with me? Every time you get sick and you recover, you realize, man, I just lost a little piece of my life. You ever laid in the bed a week or two with the flu or something? And man, you felt like the whole world was just leaving you behind. You were laying there in that bed and crying to be healed or die. And then when you got over it, it took you a few days to really get going again. And you realize, I've lost 8 days of my life. I've lost money. I've lost time. But you know what? It really doesn't hurt as bad as I thought it would, because I'm closer to the other side than I was before I got sick. Some of y'all don't understand what I'm talking about. Some of you older folks say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, every time you lose a loved one to death, you realize you're different. You realize part of your life has now, if they were saved, gone to heaven. If they were lost, you realize part of your life probably went to hell. And your life is now different. Every time you lose a loved one, your life is not going to be the same from then on, because you're on a journey and now you're closer to eternity than you were before that one died. Y'all still with me?
Amen.
Now, every time you go through a heartbreak, you come out different.
Yes, Lord.
See, you have put your heart on things of this world, people of this world, and those things you got so close to, and now that for some reason they break off, it disappears, and your heart just broken, feels like somebody took it out, threw it on the floor and stomped on it, spit in your face, and you hurt so bad. But then a few months later, you look back and you realize, I will never be the same, but I'm probably a better Christian than I was when I started into that.
Amen.
I'm telling you some profound stuff. I'm just wrapping it up in a piece of candy so you can take it, okay? I'm giving you medicine. Did you know every time you experience personal failure, every time we experience personal failure, we failed God, we failed somebody else. Y'all know what I'm saying? You let somebody down, you failed somebody. When it's over, when you've gone through that, you realize there's a piece of you missing that you'll never get back. And you're probably better for it, but you're probably closer to eternity. You're thinking more eternal now. Sound a lot better when I'm sitting writing all this down, thinking about it. Every time you have a personal experience with God, you realize when that experience is over, you realize you're different. And you're thinking more eternal, and you'll never be the same after that experience with God Himself. See, the problem with most Baptists, they've never had a personal encounter with God.
Come on now. Yeah.
Just because you join church doesn't make you have a personal encounter. You got baptized. I'm talking about personal experience in God. When God will come down in your heart, your life, your mind, and shake things up. It may be heartbreaking, may be heartrending. It may be a rejoicing time or a happy time. But when it's all over, you realize, boy, I'm farther down the road toward heaven now than I was before God came down and did it.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
The outward man's dying. It's decaying. It's fading away. It's getting closer to the grave. The inward man's being renewed and changed and transformed. And as it's doing that, it's going down the road of life with this old clay pot, and it's getting stronger and stronger, and the old clay is getting weaker and weaker, till finally at the end of the road, the clay is laid down and the new man graduates to glory to get a new house.
Amen.
You know what we need to do? Now, y'all listen to me real close on this. I don't care if you understand what I've said before this or not. We need to set our children and our grandchildren down and explain spiritual things to them.
Amen.
You see, we're scared to death to talk about dying. We're scared to death to even say death around children. Well, we don't want to upset them. They need to know. They need to know that we are eternal beings, and to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, or vice versa. And we need something down. That's why I try to get y'all to bring kids to Sunday school. And bring them to church. Bring them to church on Sunday night. The spiritual man in them will understand a whole lot more than you think.
Right, yeah.
We don't have a ball team. Ball team's not in the spiritual realm. If you want to go play ball, play ball. That's not what I'm here for. I'm not teaching your kids how to play ball. I'm not even good at it myself, thank God. We don't have a bowling league. You want to go bowling? Go bowling. We're here to teach your children and your grandchildren spiritual things. That way, when all these life circumstances happen, it won't destroy them. Get them ready while they're young, and teach them about the spiritual and material while they're young. And when a death comes, it won't destroy that child at 10 years old. And when a failure comes, whether it's mom or daddy or somebody they love has failed tremendously, it won't destroy that child. Well, we got divorced. My children have to go to the psychotherapist. Well, it's not psycho, it's spiritual.
Come on.
And they need help to be prepared. And we need to teach them that. Listen, we need to warn them that we're one day leaving, every one of us.
Amen.
You ought to look at your kids and say, I'm not going to be here forever. My mama used to say that. So I'm not going to be here forever. And look at them saying, and you're not going to be here forever. We got to do it. Well, they're not old enough to understand. That's not your decision to make. God told us to do it. Well, tell them about life's trials and tribulation.
Right, yeah.
Sister Mary, what we're doing, raising up children and grandchildren, that we protect them, we put a cocoon around them. You listening? Y'all parents listening? We put a cocoon around them, we protect them, and we don't want anything to get to them that would make them cry or hurt. But I've got news for you. This old clay pot is going to cry and it's going to hurt, and you are depriving them of eternal growth.
Amen.
Every time that young one falls down, you ought not run out there and baby that. You know, every once in a while, you'll just let them get over it themselves. And then when they come to you, say, look, that happens to all of us. We all fall down. We all get hurt. And I'm sorry you did that. But sometimes you got to learn how to do it. And it's the same way as they grow in spiritual things. We got to teach them. Say, look, I'm sorry you got hurt. But that's what we're in. We're in a wicked world and it hurts us. And I can't rescue you. What are they going to do when you're gone? I've met some of those people. I'll tell you what they're going to do when you're gone. They're going to be in a mess. They won't know how to function in this world. Amen? I better go on. Look. Did you know, we'll explain to them that it's all right to have things and people in their lives, but they don't need to hold on to them. They need to hold with a very loose grip. That little girl comes on. I got me a boyfriend. He's so cute. He's got one of them new European hairstyles. It piles up way up here on top, you know. And it's he's so cute. He's got on them skinny jeans. You ought to look at her and say, well, that's all right, but he probably won't be around but a couple of weeks because you ain't but 12 years old. And then they come at 16. I mean, I found my life mate. And you look at that 16-year-old and say, you're 16, you need to get prepared for this because in about a month, you ain't going to be able to find him with a microscope. Yeah. or just be honest, say, I think he's ugly, and I don't think he's going to last long. Get ready. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Yeah. Teach them. I got to her. I'm way over time. I understand that. Some of y'all think about chicken. Look, we need to explain to them that pretty soon people start dying off. Did you know, look, listen to me, and I know this is hard to talk about. Friends, family, mama, daddy, loved ones, husbands, wives, maybe even your own children will one day die. And if we keep covering this stuff up, like this clay pot is going to live forever, doctors will come in and say, well, you got 4-stage cancer, your arm falling off, but I think we can work on it. We might make it. Say, shut up, doctor. I'm going to the other side.
Amen.
Quit lying to me and trying to cover this stuff up. I am prepared to meet God. This earthen vessel is going to fade away, and I'm getting me a new vessel. Amen. 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 Look, we need to explain to them things like the blessed hope. The Lord is coming back. How to endure things. And you know what? Then they won't be so attracted to this whole world. You see, the reason our children, our grandchildren are so attracted by the world, so deceived by the world, is because we ain't never told them any different. Because we don't want an argument. Sometimes you need to look me in the eye and say, oh boy, you ain't going. I don't care what your friends say. I don't care what your daddy says. You ain't going. I know what you're fixing to do. And I'll tan your hide if you go. Because that's not good for you. And you're going, hey, it's going to hurt you and I'm trying to help you. You might have somebody else fooled, but you ain't got me fooled. Hurry, hurry, hurry. The Presbyterians already at the Waffle House. Listen, the Presbyterians go to the Waffle House. I doubt that. Amen. Amen. When people pass, listen to me. When people pass, listen, this old world, when people pass, y'all still with me? The old world isn't the same. When this old world, hey, listen, when people pass, this old world ain't the same. I go to see my mama once a week, usually on Friday. Lancaster's not a big town, so occasionally I will ride through just to memories. Now, all my brothers and sisters are gone. Never knew who my daddy was. I don't know. I think all my aunts and uncles on mama's family are gone. Got a few cousins I barely know, hardly ever met. Some I've never met. All my old friends are already in the grave, but maybe one or two. And I'll ride by the old home place, and I'll look at it, and I'll say, it's just not the same. It's not the home place anymore. And I'll ride by the old haunts, you know, when we was a little boy, we'd swim in the creek. Don't look bad, we kept our underwear on. And we'd swing on the vine and drop off in the creek, and I'll ride by that creek. I've even gotten out and went down on the creek. It ain't the same. They're not there anymore. I'll ride up Main Street, headed back to where Mama is, you know, and I'm going through up Main Street. I think about all those years that I drug my girlfriend at the time up and down Main Street, car sick. And I didn't know what car sick was. And how we would circle the block and come back around and circle the block and come back around and circle the block and come back around and circle the block and come back around. You know what I'm talking about, Wanda. There was thousands of us doing. We was going somewhere. We just didn't know where we was going. So we went round and round. Thousands of us. Couldn't get through town, you know. Well, they ain't there no more. They're gone. I go by sometimes down there at the church where I got saved, where I got born again, where I received Christ as my Savior. The building's gone. Now there's a big old fancy building sitting there. I so wanted my pew. I wish I could have got that pew I was sitting on when I got saved. I pulled up the parking lot. I've even got out and walked around back there praying. And I thought, Lord, this ain't where I got saved. This ain't. They're gone. The pastor's gone. Those people are gone. It's not the same. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Come on, I'm getting closer to heaven.
Amen.
Amen. This whole world's getting farther behind me. We've had family dinners. Every Thanksgiving, everybody used to pile up at Mama's house. It wasn't big enough, but we'd all sit outside and sit in chairs. And we'd have an Easter dinner at Mama's house. I'd go by Mama's old house, and then let somebody else live there. And it just ain't there. That part of my life's gone. Y'all still with me? Can you relate what I'm saying? We're getting closer to heaven. Come on, help me.
Yeah.
No one could cook like my mother-in-law, Thelma. Nobody could cook like my woman could cook. She was the best mother-in-law to ever live. She'd encourage me. You know, sorry as I was those younger days, she never jumped on me. She always encouraged me, told me how good I was and all that. You know, lied sometimes, but she was so good to me, you know. We'd have family vacations down at the beach, and now it's not the same. And she'd go with us. One time they talked my mama into going. My mama got on a boat for the first time in her life. We rode across Merle's in it, went to eat seafood and rode back. And it's not the same anymore. That part of my life is gone. Nobody could sing like Bobby. Maybe Judy, when she sang, what was that song, Judy, I won't have to worry anymore. Nobody, listen, nobody could encourage like brother Jason Coley. Nobody could encourage me like him. Nobody could visit like Brother Monroe. Nobody could preach like Bully Falkenberry and tell you about the love of Jesus. Nobody could teach like Brother Wayne Smith about the doctrines. Nobody could smile like my brother-in-law who's gone to heaven named Buddy. That man could smile. He had that little sheepish grin. Didn't matter what was happening. Look, I could go on, but this old world isn't so appealing anymore, because you know what? Heaven's sounding sweeter all the time. All those people's in heaven now. So you got a preacher, you got a pastor, all mine's gone. All my heroes are gone. Great preachers I've known, all them are gone to heaven. Heaven sounding sweeter all the time. I know it's over time, but you need to hear this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says our bodies are fading away. Now, you can't help that. Doctors can't help that. You're fading away. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
You say, well, I'm only 16. Yeah, but you ain't near what you was when you was 12. Amen?
Yeah.
You're fading away like the rest of us. That old body, your eyesight's growing dim, Brother Billy. Your hearing's going bad, and it's getting dull, and your teeth are getting loose, and soon you won't be able to walk. And it won't be long after that, we won't be able to remember yesterday.
Amen. Yeah.
You know what? Over there is beginning to look a whole lot better than over here.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Now, you young people, some of you can't understand this, but you'll catch on. Amen? Yeah. Amen? My hair is getting thinner and grayer. My back hurts. My teeth hurts. Everything over here is fading away that I used to put so much stock in. Amen? Verse 17, 18 said, he'll make you go on when you would want to quit. Because you see, at the end of every one of those tragedies and those happenings in our life, at every one of them, it breaks our heart and it strikes our mind. But our spirit says, yeah, but you can't quit. You got to go on. And then something else happens and won't lay down the floor and die. And that earthen vessel wants to die, but that treasure in your heart says, yeah, you're not dying. You're going to live forever. Go on. This ain't a funeral. I'm not talking about a funeral. I'm talking about the Christian life. If you're looking for the perfect world, you're not going to find it. Perfect mate, you won't find it. Perfect family, you won't find it. Perfect church, you won't find it. certainly the perfect pastor. You're not going to find it. You better look to heaven for perfection, because it ain't down here. Like Abraham, we're pilgrims and wanderers, aliens in this old world. Our time's short, and we're looking for that city whose builder and maker is God. Our theme song should be Farther Along. That would be our theme. Because see, if God lets you live another day, you're going to experience more problems, more pain, more disappointment, more failure. And the old clay pot's going to want to die and give up, but the new person in you refuses to give up. And don't think too much of yourself, because that's not you, that's Him in you, the hope of glory. Heaven sounds sweeter all the time. I want to see people. I miss old Joe Hammaker. I miss Monroe Parker. I miss Tony. I miss Brother Tommy. I miss Brother Tommy. I miss other people. I want to see them. I've got some sisters on the other side that loved me when I was unlovable. Well, I can't wait to see them. I've got preachers, pastors on the other side that should have looked at me and said, this boy's a total failure, but they didn't do it. They kept pushing me, and they kept pushing me, and I can't wait to see them again. Heaven sounded sweeter all the time. I'm looking forward to going. That sounds crazy, don't it? I'm looking forward to dying and going to heaven. If the rapture comes, praise God for the rapture. But if it don't, I'm looking forward to going. One day, I'm going to finish this race. And when I'm gone, don't you get sad. Don't you lay down. Don't you quit. What you need to do is say, look, I'm not quitting. I'm going to keep going, because one day I'll see that man again. Are you ready to go? Some of you are scared to death, you're going to die. If you're scared, either number one, you're not dying, God's give you grace, or number two, you don't. Hey, you've never been saved.
Come on.
Let's stand. Father, it's not a